Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And all this month, we're going to go beyond the campaign rhetoric and the top line economic numbers to look one by one at some specific economic programs launched by the Obama administration. We're calling the series Did It Work? And our guide each Wednesday in July is Robin Farzad, senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek. Hey, Robin.
Happy July. How are you?
Good. Excited that you'll be doing this every
week.
And today for our first program, we've chosen the Small Business Lending Fund. Now, that doesn't have the sexy acronym like TARP or a simple shorthand like the stimulus, or people don't line up to love it or hate it quite as easily. But it's an example of a specific program launched by the Obama administration, first announced during the 2010 State of the Union address. And here is the president at the signing of the Small Business Jobs Act, of which the Small Business Lending Fund was a key part.
Along with the middle class, small businesses have borne the greatest brunt of this recession. They, you, were hit by a 1-2 punch. The downturn has meant people are spending less, so there's less demand, and the financial crisis made it difficult for small businesses to get loans.
Now, listeners, if anybody's out there who's had any contact with the Small Business Lending Fund, maybe you got money from it, maybe they turned you down, I don't know. Maybe you looked at the paperwork and decided, 212-433-WNYC. We have about 10 minutes for this. 212-433-9692. Have you heard about the Small Business Lending Fund? And have you tried or succeeded in taking advantage of it? And here's one of the reasons this is interesting. In announcing the program, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said that this proposal would take money repaid by the biggest banks and provide it to community banks so they can increase lending to small businesses. So, Robin, at a time when people like Frank Rich, our first guest this hour, are railing against the government for not doing anything to hold the big banks responsible, for the financial crisis, is this an example where they are? Money from big banks is being moved to small banks so small businesses can get loans?
In theory, Brian, that's supposed to be the case. Let's go back to the original bailout in TARP during the horrors of 2008. People I speak to say the original sin for the government and Geithner was when you disperse this money out, there was like a one page, you know, it's the PDF is all over the internet. You could find it. It's where Paulson kind of, you know, made you sign on your honor, really, that you were going to do the right things with this money and that you would pay it back. And that's the problem. It was all done in its honor. They didn't make the disbursement of these funds originally with TARP kind of, you will go out there and do this because we're not just bailing you out and bailing out your capital structure. Unfortunately, I think critics now, a year after this facility and the Small Business Act were ratified, are realizing that the same thing is happening with small institutions. They were kind of on their honor to go out and take these preferred financial injections, financing injections, and turn around and be fruitful and multiply and loan it out. But at the same time, the government is telling them, heal thy balance sheet. And that's what they're doing. They're taking this and paying off some of their own TARP obligations. And it's just a kind of a ledger domain thing. And it's not helping the small business owner.
Really? So access to loans, which we know is a big problem for small business, is not really affected by this? Are you here in the first part of this series to declare this lending fund a failure?
Again, in theory, it's a great thing. You figure that if you as the government, whether you're the Treasury or the Federal Reserve, which has pushed short-term rates down to zero and is pretty much taunting, begging banks to come borrow for nothing and turn around and lend it for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points even. I mean, gosh, we're going to help you print money. The banks have been so chastened, and there's a whole rafter of regulations right now that all they're doing is taking that cheap financing up front and the deposits that you and I put in and going around, turning around and playing the yield curve, putting it in 10-year bonds and capturing, you know, the 2 or 3 points difference. And they're saying that's much more free money than going out there again
and discerning
who
risks.
Is risky. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is $30 billion from the Troubled Asset Relief Program, the TARP. From big banks to small banks.
That's true.
So,
and I say in defense of the small community banks, I mean, some of us think that this is kind of George Bailey. It's a wonderful life and everything. These are wise institutions. Some of them have public shareholders. They realize that a lot of small businesses out there are looking to borrow just to keep the lights on. I mean, it's working capital. It's this idea out there that small businesses are desperate to go out to hire, and if they can only get a loan at a reasonable rate, that's a fallacy by and large.
David in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
You know, it seems that the, in my experience as a small business person, it's the people who get the money are the ones who don't really need it as much as, you know. I just think, you know, the point of what I'm trying to say is actually there's a difference between small businesses and startups. And the vast majority of people who go out after these loans are people who are startups, but Small Business Administration, their criteria is that a business has to be they have to be in business for at least 5 years, and the last 36 months must have continuous or consecutive months of positive cash flow. But one thing that is would be helpful to listeners is that at both Baruch College in Manhattan and Pace University in Manhattan, as well as other universities and colleges in New York State, there's what's called the Small Business Development Corporation. This is funded by New York State, and they help
entrepreneurs. Right.
They help me get a seed money loan, which is exceedingly rare. It was based on my personal credit, and at the time it was only $5,000, but it really helped me out at the time.
That's
just
really
like
great.
To mention
say,
to people,
say again.
Small Business Development Corporations. They're at the one at Baruch College is excellent. There's also one at Pace University, and they're at a few other colleges in New York State. It's funded by New York State,
right.
And you can get consultants to help you absolutely for free.
That's great. And David, I'm going to leave it there because our time is short, but a lot of good information there. What about that distinction that he made between startups and small businesses? Is that meaningful, Robin?
Yeah, it is meaningful, if not kind of psychologically, because again, you're having these loan proposals vetted by risk management people, and startups are inherently, you would think, more risky. There's a wildcatting element to it. What everybody has these dreams of opening up restaurants, and what 7 out of 10 up to 8 out of 10 of restaurants fail. But when you step back from this, this is a huge catch basin. Geithner himself says that half of all U.S. workers are employed by companies with fewer than 500 employees. And those small businesses, they form 2/3 of all private sector jobs.
And here's Geithner himself being asked about the loan fund during a congressional hearing. Here's an exchange with Representative Jamie Butler in Washington on the failure of this program to actually pay out a single dime.
I recognize there were a lot of banks who got out over the tip of their skis. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about credit-worthy institutions who cannot get a response from
right.
the Treasury,
but
your office.
Right.
Let me finish. From your office on whether or not they are approved or not approved.
Oh,
and
no,
we're talking
they'll
6
get that,
months.
They'll get that response. But again, the reason why people haven't heard from us yet is because we depend on the regulators to review these applications. Mm-hmm. We don't even see them until they meet that review. When they see them, we look at them, and we'll make those judgments as quickly as we can. But again, none of you, I hate to say it, will be in a position to make a judgment independently on your own about whether they're viable or not. That's a judgment that you need to leave to, and the law is designed this way, leave to the checks and balances we've set up.
Now, Robin Farzad from Bloomberg Business Week, that was such an interesting exchange with Washington State Congresswoman Butler, partly because there are two log jams here. One is that the banks aren't lending to the small businesses, as you were describing. The other is it's hard even for the small banks to get the money to flow out of this hypothetical fund from TARP. And that's what she was talking about. The community bank's application to even get this money is tough to process.
It's a kind of a Janus face message that you're getting from Washington in general. And I think this presages some of the backlash that you're going to see against the regulations of Dodd-Frank. I mean, obviously, there were protections put in place there after the credit catastrophe and whatnot. But to the extent that small businesses, and by the way, they're not monolithic, start perceiving, like this congresswoman, that it's tying up capital and throwing sand in the machine work of capitalism more than it's helping, I think you're going to see a congressional backlash against these rules.
And as of last week, Treasury had received 869 applications requesting $11.5 billion in funding from the program out of the $30 billion theoretically available. So the government comes to a bank and says, here, tons of money at reasonable rates. And some of the banks are stymied by the application. Some of the banks aren't even jumping at the chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a chicken or egg dilemma. In the end, is the financing what's holding up the economic recovery at the ground level, or is the economic recovery not there in place to incent banks to go out there and feel their animal spirits? I mean, small businesses will also complain about commodity costs, which are spiraling. And the asymmetry of this is that they're not multinationals. I mean, they can cut costs, but they can't partake in strength from exporting to China or Brazil. So, you know, we're kind of in this reservoir of our dogs like standoff at this point.
Is there, we have about a minute and a half left. Is there a fundamentally different kind of appetite for risk among the big banks and the small banks? Because here we are talking about how frustrating it is that the small banks, among other things, are too afraid to loan to small businesses because they got burned in the financial crisis and they don't know who's a reasonable risk right now. On the other hand, the big banks are running around clamoring to weaken Dodd-Frank so that they can take more risk and not be constrained by the new capital requirements.
They say so, but then again, these are not lending risks. These are not kind of the altruistic side of banking. Again, the It's a Wonderful Life thing. There's a Potterville element as well here, Brian. I mean, this is a period of recapitalization. The government is telling them, Wall Street is telling them, their shareholders are telling them, heal thy balance sheet so you can pay us a dividend back. And truth be told, it's not a priority to go out there in a kind of a ELO missionary way, loan out money. And what's amazing is even with the government pushing short-term rates down to zero, I mean, there was QE2, talk of QE2.5, QE3, and then the Fed coming in and Geithner saying that we'll give you small business loans at a preferred rate. That's still not enough to get people past being chastened after what happened.
By the way, what percentage of jobs in America are created by small business? Is there a real stat on that?
Two-thirds of all private sector jobs,
really?
And half of all U.S. workers are employed by companies with fewer than 500.
So in theory, this could have a big impact if the money was really
flowing. In theory, but Brian, in practice, I think you and I should open up a kosher Persian food truck. I mean, that's something that I've been looking to do. Obviously, that's a big small business trend in Manhattan.
I think
here.
We got a corner out
you
here.
You know, if
on
this
Barrett
journalism
Street.
Thing doesn't work out, you know how to reach me.
Listeners, if you want to suggest a topic, a government program for us to look into during our Did It Work series on financial crisis programs, post a comment at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet us at Brian Lehrer and Robin Farzad from Bloomberg Businessweek. We'll look at a different one each Wednesday this month. Great job. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you.